Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you at Columbo Chronicles Live. And we're right here at Blog Talk Radio, worldwide online radio, where you can listen anywhere in the world. You just have to check your area and your country. And remember, all shows are archived. Just Google blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles. And you can always come back and listen to any of the shows you missed with prominent guests and on important topics that affect your life and my life. And it's Wednesday, it's September 6th, and on the West Coast it's 8 o'clock, and on the East Coast it's 11 o'clock for all those sleepyheads. So stay awake, because we have a really important guest, and his name is Don Brockett. And he is born in Chicago, Illinois in 1936. He moved with his family to Spokane, Washington in 1947. He graduated from Lewis and Clark High School, and he attended Gonzaga University, where he graduated from law school in 1961. Mr. Brockett began his legal career in Spokane County Prosecuting Attorney's Office that year, serving as a deputy prosecuting attorney until 1969, and he was appointed prosecuting attorney. He was elected to the position in 1970 and reelected until his retirement at the end of 1994. He then entered private practice, remaining there for about 7 years. And he practiced law for 52 years before he retired from the practice of law. And today, he's an honorary member of the Washington State Bar Association. And I will tell you a little more about Don Brockett, who's also a popular author. And he's going to be with us in just a few minutes. And I will tell you even more information about our very special guest when we welcome him to Columbo Chronicles Live. Every Wednesday, we're here for you with prominent guests from around the world who are authors, experts, community leaders, and victims of legal abuse. But right now, I want to talk about what's happening around the country and around the world, and it's not good. We need to pray for the world peace, and we need to pray for the victims of these natural disasters, what some people believe are man-made disasters by HARP, chemtrails, and possibly being able to manipulate the weather with triangulation, directing the storms at specific areas. So that's what's in the news and online of people speaking out and giving their opinions. Whatever it is, natural or God's wrath and revelations coming to life and times man-made, whatever it is, just be sure that you are right with God and that your soul is right with God, because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. It's not the end of life. It's the beginning of life with the Lord, should bad things happen upon the earth. We don't die. We, the believers, do not die. We move on into heaven with the Lord. And that is the goal of everyone who is a believer. And there are reports of acres of wildfires burning in Los Angeles, Montana, Oregon, and not so long ago I visited Arizona, and there were acres and acres of wildfires burning across Arizona that really weren't reported in the mainstream media. our country is burning. We have an unprecedented fire in Los Angeles County, where acres and acres are burning. People's lives are at stake and homes are at stake across this country. Then there's Hurricane Harvey that brought devastation and death to Houston and devastated the town of Rockport, Texas, and other small towns that need your help. On my Facebook, I have a birthday fund going, and you can donate to the victims of Hurricane Harvey by going on my Facebook and donating whatever you can, $5, $10, whatever. Every little bit will help and adds up. Again, Hurricane Harvey has devastated cities across Texas, and they're in dire need of help, and people have died. And Irma is bringing death and destruction to the Caribbean islands and to Puerto Rico, to Cuba, possibly Florida, D.C., Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and New York City. And, of course, California has been targeted for a very long time for a major earthquake, according to the news. So your prayers are needed for our nation and for the world and for peace in the world and for God to divert and minimize these storms. Prayer is powerful. And if you can't afford to donate, you can pray. And so before we bring our guest on, I wanted to mention that Christians are being persecuted across the world, and across the nation, in fact. We need to be aware of that fact. They're tearing down crosses and attacking churches and pastors and the Bible, and it just goes on and on and on. I don't know how these mean-spirited people became so mean-spirited in a Christian nation where our laws and our Constitution is rooted into the Bible and the Ten Commandments. This article is from iPatriot. It's reposted from Constitution.com. It says, our brothers and sisters in China are facing heavy, painful persecution. So Christian persecution is spreading. I want you to know that. And who helps China? Who built up China's economy? Thank the Clintons. Thank the Clintons for NAFTA. Thank the Clintons for giving our Long Beach Naval Base and port to the hands of communist China and so forth. I mean, we outsourced, or in my opinion, that was espionage, but they changed the name to outsourcing so no one got charged with espionage and outsourced our jobs over to communist China, our manufacturing companies, and our United States technology. And then we invited them to our White House for a state dinner, and we gave them a tour of the White House, and according to investigative reporters, it's alleged they gave them a tour along with the Muslim Brotherhood under Obama's reign of national security. I mean, this is insanity going on in this country. But anyway, this article goes on to say that the Chinese security officers went on the attack and beat several priests and congregants last week in China's northern Shaanxi province, as the group of Christians did their best to protect their church's property. This happened in Egypt when Obama and Hillary funded the Muslim Brotherhood leader Morsi with our tax dollars and interfered in a foreign campaign against the will of the Egyptian citizens and warned that Morsi would murder the Coptic Christians, burn down their churches, their homes, and their businesses, which he did do. And then there's persecution of Christians all across the Middle East by ISIS. and there's torture and crucifixions and beheading men, women, children, babies. I mean, it's insanity. And then, of course, it's happening in Africa as well. You have to pray because too many people have turned away from God, and we need to turn back to God and ask for His protection. Well, anyway, it goes on to say that the government officials did do all of these things, and the officials had come to demolish a building belonging to the church, but the priests, along with hundreds of lay people, sat in front of backhoes and other heavy machinery to block the demolition work. Witnesses posted a video of that clash between government representatives and the Christians, and the faithful can be heard shouting, "Jesus, save me," and "Mother Mary, have pity on us." As Breitbart News reported last month, the United States Department has declared that the Chinese Communist government physically abused, detained, arrested, tortured, sentenced to prison, or harassed adherents of both registered and unregistered religious groups during 2016 in its new International Religious Freedom Report. The abuse of people of faith in their religious practice included members of unregistered Christian churches, also known as house churches, the report added. All over the world, our Christian siblings are being persecuted by communist governments, Muslim zealots, tyrannical despots. What are Christians here in America doing to help? Because they are already Antifa and other anti-religious groups are attacking Christians and Christian churches right here in America, and the Bible and the crosses, and mocking Jesus Christ and the Bible. We sit here in our comfortable pews complaining about how our culture is mean to us. Meanwhile, our siblings are being beaten, robbed, tortured, raped, and killed. Oh, how the Christian church should be ashamed of itself for not speaking up more loudly in defense of this worldwide church. So there you have it. And now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, but I want you to think about what's happening in this world. I don't know if it's revelations coming to life. I don't know if it's the shadow government and the deep state using weather manipulation to destroy America and depopulate the planet under the United Nations Agenda 21, which is a plan to depopulate the planet by 90% under the guise of saving the planet. For whom? I guess for them only. So whatever it is, natural, man-made, whatever it is, we need to pray. And that's what's all important right now, prayers and helping each other. That's what mankind needs to do. They need to share love, and they need to give a handout to their neighbors. They need to get off the couch, and they need to speak up, speak out, call their congressman, call the White House, and ask them what's going on. They owe us that. They owe us the truth. They know what's going on. So why don't you give them a call at 202-225-3121 or 202-224-3121 and speak to each of them, including your own representatives and senators, and tell them you'd like to know the truth. Why are there FEMA trains? Why are there FEMA camps? Why are there microchips in the United States of America, where that goes totally against every grain of salt that we are taught since we were born on this soil, innate to this soil, where our brothers and sisters have died for this soil and for the American people and to uphold the Constitution. And babies are dying by the millions in America. Why? Why are natural-born Americans being slaughtered by the millions for profit and taxes and depopulation? These are things you need to call and ask about. And so while you're sitting on the couch watching reality shows, this is the real reality of what's happening. Look out your window. Look at the news. Read everything. Don't believe me. Read everything, and then call your congressmen, your senators, and you ask them what is happening to our country. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk to our very special guest.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we're entering into the world of authors and experts, and we have a wonderful author and expert. In fact, I told you a little bit about him when the show began, and his name is Don Brockett, and he did work in the prosecutor's office, and he tried numerous cases, in fact, very high-profile cases. He was appointed a special U.S. attorney and assisted in the federal prosecution of the leader of a biker gang in Spokane, also prosecuting him for the murder of a police officer in state court. He prosecuted 3 death penalty cases. For many years, he handled all appeals in the Washington State Supreme Court, and later in that court, the newly created Court of Appeals for Division III. He also argued cases in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the United States Supreme Court. He argued and won the case of Aldinger versus Howard in the U.S. Supreme Court, defending the Spokane County Treasurer against a civil rights lawsuit. One of his most memorable criminal prosecutions was that of Fred Coe, known as the South Hill Rapist, which hit national news after a number of women had been raped in Spokane. After that trial, it resulted in several convictions. Coe's mother tried to hire a hitman to have the trial judge killed and have Mr. Brockett beaten into the state of an addlepated vegetable who was to be in diapers for the rest of his life. Police learned of the plot and met with Mrs. Coe and recorded her conversation and arrested her. She was then prosecuted and sentenced to jail for 90 days of school release time. The case became the topic of Jack Olson's book, Son, and was a 1991 television program, Sins of the Mother. He currently lives in Spokane, Washington, with his wife of 56 years. That's wonderful, and congratulations. And he also has 5 children, and he did lose a daughter, and our sympathy goes out to the family, in a plane crash in Ellensburg, Washington, in 1987. They have 13 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. So let's welcome Dawn Brockett to our show, Colombo Chronicles Live, and say good evening. Good evening, Dawn. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm pretty good, Rose. Probably a little bit hoarse because of all of the smoke that we have here in Spokane from the forest fires, but I hope your audience will forgive me for having that type of a voice tonight.
Well, of course, and you sound just fine, and those fires are just happening all across the country, and it's just getting horrific, and everybody's suffering from those ashes that are near them. I left Arizona a couple months ago, and or a month or two ago, I don't remember now, but the acres and acres were burning, and I suffered from the same thing. It gets in your throat, and it's just horrible.
Yes, and, it certainly is.
Yes, and so we're very happy to have you for the first time on Colombo Chronicles Live, and you have such an expansive background and a wonderful background, and I know that I'm not sure if you wrote the book or you're writing another book about the Supreme Court, but I know you are asking the question, are we in danger of losing our constitutional form of government, or have we already lost it, which is an excellent question. So give us a little background of your interest on this particular topic, and if you've written the book or if the book is going to be published soon.
Yes, the book has been published. The book's title is The Tyrannical Rule of the United States Supreme Court, and the subtitle is How the Court Has Violated the Constitution. What I became interested in, the more I practiced law and studied the U.S. Supreme Court and its decisions, was the way in which the court interprets the Constitution, even though it was really never given the authority to do so, except by itself, in a way that misinterprets those words and phrases in order to reach the decision that they want to reach. A perfect example of that, of course, is the latest decision on the same-sex marriage, which overturned the history of marriage to the extent that Chief Justice Roberts, in writing a dissent in that opinion, said, "Who do we think we are?" And Justice Scalia, more importantly, said, "What's most important to me is who I'm ruled by. And this opinion says that I'm ruled by the 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court." So that's the reason I wrote the book, was to try and call to the attention of the thinking public the fact that the Supreme Court has gone way beyond what was intended in the Constitution itself. And by the way, if I can divert for a moment, I heard your comments with reference to being a Christian nation. The Constitution, as everybody knows, is founded upon the Declaration of Independence. And I'd like to read a couple of phrases from the Declaration of Independence, which certainly supports exactly what you said. In the beginning,
oh, then by all means.
Yeah, in the beginning, the statement is made about the laws of nature and of nature's God entitling us to certain privileges, which they are going to set out in the Constitution itself. And at the end of their statement, what they said was, "And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And then they set about forming the Constitution of the United States. I think what most people forget, or maybe it hasn't been brought to their attention, is that the U.S. Constitution is a contract. And according to contract law, the only change that can occur to a contract has to come from the parties to the contract. And as everybody knows who's familiar with the Constitution, Article 5 allows it to be amended. But it has to be amended by a movement that starts by the people. through their elected representatives. And my position, which I think many people might be surprised by, is the U.S. Supreme Court has no right to change the Constitution by misinterpretation of its words or phrases because it was not a party to that contract. It was created by it. And for them to come along as they did in 1803 and decide they were entitled to interpret it completely takes away from the checks and balances that were designed to be in our federal government. And I think
that's extremely important because in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, it was published back in 2010. I wrote that it appears to me that the three branches of government have morphed into one branch of government, especially since Obama took office, and that when it morphs into one branch of government because he ruled our country by executive order and bypass, as he stated, he would bypass Congress and the Constitution, that to me meant it morphed into one branch of government and Congress was complicit and eliminated checks and balances at that point. That was my opinion. What do you think
about
that?
Well, it's a good opinion because, you know, the executive privilege doesn't exist anywhere in the Constitution. The second branch of the government, the executive branch, which is headed by the President of the United States, according to the Constitution, its only function is to carry into effect the laws that are passed by the Congress. So the laws passed by the Congress, which are made through our representatives that we elect, are supposed to be carried out by the president. He's not supposed to do anything on his own to rule the country. And likewise, the United States Supreme Court is not supposed to do anything on its own to rule the country. But it has become our ruler because everything happens to go to the court today, mainly because people don't want the slowness of going through Congress and trying to get things done by legislation. President Obama, as you know, a supposed constitutional teacher, said, well, if the Congress won't do it, then I'll take care of it by doing it myself. He didn't have any authority to do that, and I'm not sure why nobody took him to court for it, but that's another issue.
No one wanted to take him to court because he wouldn't show up for court anyway. Snubbed his nose at the federal judges, and they did nothing to him. And so he did not fear the courts at all, or the judges, apparently, and in my opinion. And so you stated that democracy was to be avoided because, as had been shown by history, it sometimes resulted in subjugating a minority, with the main governing body made up of representatives of the people. There could be more control over the actions of the government. If the representatives were unrepresentative, they would simply be removed from office and replaced. Well, my question to you is, it's not simple to remove any of these corrupted persons. I mean, we try, but it's very difficult to remove a congressional member or a senator or a president from office.
Well, it certainly is under the present conditions because, as you pointed out previously in talking about a different issue, we can't seem to get people up off the couches. They need to take an interest in government, know how their representatives are voting, and take an active role when they come up for election because, for example, in the House of Representatives, people only serve for 2 years. That was intentional so that they would be closer to the people and the needs of the people. And if they didn't serve the needs of the people, they would be replaced. Now, as you know, in the Senate, which is euphemistically known as the old person's body of the Congress. There was a six-year term intentionally so that it would slow down the bad legislation that might be proposed by the newcomers who were coming in with the two-year terms. And in fact, and this is what I think is totally missing today, the United States of America wasn't a total term in the days the Constitution was formed. They were United States, and the states were the most important. They did not want the federal government to have much power. In fact, the checks and balances and the six-year term for senators, for example, in Congress, was to slow down legislation so that there wouldn't be too much legislation interfering in the business of the people who had a right to live their own lives in order to pursue happiness, as the words and the language clearly says. So what I think is interesting, and I hit upon this, and I think you noticed that also in the in that article going further, does anybody understand why there's no initiative or referendum that can occur on a federal level? Because we don't have a democracy. I keep hearing people talk about our democracy. We don't have a democracy, folks. We have a representative government. You don't want a democracy, because a democracy simply means the majority rules. And oftentimes, it can result in a mob rule. When people are gathered together in a mob idea that they simply put over by a 51% vote.
Well, what's interesting to me about that is that when Obama was in office and he was ruling by executive order, many of them, in my opinion, like Obamacare, was unread, unconstitutional, illegal, unlawful, and was not in the best interest of the American people, nor was it fair or just or equitable, but discriminatory and protected certain people and, in fact, exempted themselves and those they favored from that law, which they had no authority, in my opinion, to do, and hold themselves above the law and those they favored, such as donors, bundlers, Muslims, illegals, and so forth. And so at that point, they aren't even following the U.S. Constitution, from my own personal opinion. They are just rogue, and they are dictating more or less to the people based on a pack of lies they told the people, and they were never held accountable. And isn't there, aren't we electing them to uphold their sworn oath, which is to uphold the Constitution, and to read every line of legislation that is to make sure that it is in accordance with the Constitution and not in violation of the Constitution? Or am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. In fact, I couldn't figure out why the whole country wasn't up in arms when very famously the Speaker of the House proclaimed, well, we had to pass it first before we can read it. That is the most preposterous statement that could ever be made by a legislator. You have to read things carefully. You have to dissect them. You have to have hearings on them to decide whether or not it's the best thing to do before you pass legislation. But worse yet, as you know, the case went to the United States Supreme Court, and Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the court. As I said in my book, in all of these opinions, in terms of the tyranny that's resulted from the U.S. Supreme Court, he said, well, no, it would be wrong if it forced people to buy a certain insurance policy, which is exactly what it did. But it's okay because all it did was raise a tax. and the authority to raise a tax is within the purview of the Congress. So once again, the U.S. Supreme Court interprets a phrase or word in the Constitution, picked out one that you know wasn't even argued to the court, and said, okay, we'll uphold it on that basis. So do you see what I mean when I say that the court has become an oligarchy? 9 unelected people who decide everything for you.
Exactly. And I was very disturbed because I wrote to every U.S. Justice, including Justice Roberts, and in support of Attorney Berg's eligibility lawsuit, because I told them that if they don't hear the case on behalf of the people, and people have standing, in my opinion, because we are paying the taxes, the wages through our tax dollars of every elected official, so therefore, in my opinion, and our welfare and our lives and our health are in jeopardy if we elect someone who is not eligible. And so I just wrote them and I said, you know, they could be supporting a foreign spy, a foreign enemy, an illegal into our the highest office in the land unless they hear the case on eligibility and allow him to present the evidence, which he did have evidence to present, and they threw it out. So, I mean, I am just stunned by this entire Supreme Court and Constitution, and I'm just as disillusioned as I think the majority of Americans who have recently awakened to the fact that, as Gruber said, we have been tricked and fooled and easily fooled, according to him. And Obama stood in a speech and said that we must give up all our liberties. So I am more concerned about the fact that they are trampling and eliminating the Constitution, because Obama stood up in front of Congress and the world and said the Constitution and Congress are meaningless, and Congress, instead of turning around and walking out and impeaching him, applauded. What did you think about that?
Well, the thing that's interesting, and you raise that issue, and I've raised this issue now, and I want people to think about this. People are under the misimpression that Supreme Court justices are appointed for life. I don't know whether you think that or not. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that they are appointed for life. It says they are appointed, quote, upon good behavior, end quote.
Oh,
now,
wow.
What does that mean?
I did not know that, and I am just taken back by that right now, and I am so glad you just told us that, because I would bet that 99% of the American people don't know that.
Oh, I'm sure they don't. But if they read the Constitution, they will find that they are appointed to serve on good behavior. Now, it is my opinion that the way you enforce the good behavior is to determine what's bad behavior. And if Congress had any backbone, it would say, because Congress would be the one that would decide what bad behavior is through impeachment. And they could impeach either the entire Supreme Court, the majority that rules as they wish on every opinion, on the basis of the fact that it's bad behavior to misinterpret the words and phrases of the Constitution contrary to what the Constitution really means. And that since the people were never given a right to amend it through Article 5, through their elected representatives, they are not any longer on good behavior. So that's one way the Supreme Court could be checked and balanced. The other way is that the president doesn't have to accept what the Supreme Court says. I don't know why people think that's true. It is not the supreme law of the land. Article 6 is clear on that. There are only 3 things that are the supreme law of the land, and one of them that is not mentioned is a decision of the United States Supreme Court. There were two instances in the history of the United States where a president did not follow the decision of the Supreme Court. And Justice Jackson said, because Justice Marshall was the Supreme Court judge at the time who wrote the opinion, he said famously, quote, "Justice Marshall has rendered his opinion, now let him enforce it," end quote. Because what people don't seem to understand, and maybe civics teachers don't teach this anymore, and I'm not sure why, is that there is no enforcement power by the United States Supreme Court. The enforcement of the decisions has to occur by the United States Marshal's Office, which is under the executive branch headed by the president. The president can say, I'm not going to send troops in to have African-American children go to the school in 1954. And they wouldn't have gone. So
wow.
There are several ways that there can be checks and balances. And why don't we go back to what civics courses and law courses should have been teaching and understand the constitutional principles and bring America back into line in the place that our founders intended.
I think you're absolutely right. We need refresher courses, and we need to make sure that those are taught in every public school. And instead of foreign indoctrination that's being inserted. So I wrote to Senator Feinstein about term limits, and she wrote back a long letter, and I don't remember exactly what the reasons she gave at the moment, but she told me that in the letter that that there is no way that the American people can impose term limits on the senators.
Well, I'm not sure what legal authority she had that she could cite for that. The Constitution allows Congress to impose limits and take limits away anytime it wants to, as long as it's not violation of a constitutional provision, specific provision. For example, didn't Congress change? Well, no, I guess that was done through an amendment, wasn't it? Under Article 5, they changed the election of senators so that they're not elected by the House of Representatives or the legislative body of each state. Instead, they're elected by a statewide election. So, you know, that can be done by amendment. I don't know why she thinks it can't be changed.
I'm going to dig up that letter, and I'll email it to you, because it's quite shocking to me, because I was trying to push for term limits, and because there are people in Congress who have been there 20, 30, 40 years.
Oh, I know.
Why? Why are they there for so long? Because that gives no one else an opportunity to serve their country.
Yeah, well, it's because nobody will get up off the couch, as you said previously, and vote them out. They've got to be voted out. Somebody else has to be voted in, and that means people have to get interested, and they have to, you know, it's like the response to my book. I've been just really amazed by it.
Give the audience the name of your book again, Don.
It's the tyrannical rule of the United States Supreme Court, how the court has violated the Constitution. I thought that would be so shocking to people that they would say, wow, I want to see what it is this guy thinks he can write that says the U.S. Supreme Court is a tyranny.
Well, I looked up the duties of a Supreme Court justice once, and what I came up with is that it stated it very simply. It said that the only duty of a U.S. Supreme Court justice is to uphold the Constitution.
Sure, that's exactly right. But one of the things I mentioned in my book that I think is totally ironic is, you know, we have a freedom of assembly, don't you? And you know we have a freedom of a right to protest, don't you? Did you know that the Supreme Court has passed their own rule that says, however, you cannot do that on the steps or the, whatever you want to call it, in front of the Supreme Court building? You're not allowed to do it there. And I thought, that's preposterous. The whole idea of the right to protest and the right to assemble in order to protest is that the government get an earful from us once in a while about how they're not performing the way we want them to. And in fact, Jefferson said famously that if we ever get to the point where that occurs, we have a right to violently remove everybody and start over again.
Now, exactly. And I want to talk to you about that. Do you have a few more minutes to stay with me while I take a little break? Okay, great. So stay with us on Colombo Chronicles, and we'll be back with our wonderful guest, Don Brockett, in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion? Not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Colombo Chronicles Live, and we're talking to Don Brockett. He's a prosecutor, a former prosecutor, and he's an author, and he's talking to us about his book, The Tyrannical Rule of the United States Supreme Court. And this is an important topic for every American, because heaven knows we're confused right now about what the heck is the United States Supreme Court doing to our Constitution. So, Don, we're back, and we were talking about protesters and so forth, and you can't even stand in front of the Supreme Court any longer to protest? That's crazy.
Well, it sure is. And let me read you that quote that I was talking about previously of Jefferson, because I think it's important. He said that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. So certainly they thought, the founders now, that impeachment would be something that would be possible as a check and balance of the power of the Supreme Court if it got carried away and thought it was replacing the kings and queens of England, because that's what they just revolted against in the Revolutionary War. And it was important to them that they have some mechanisms that could replace the government if it didn't work out as it was intended.
Well, let me ask you this. Going back to Obamacare, which has been a nightmare for Americans, the Congress said, well, like you mentioned, we have to read it to see what's in it. And I mean, we have to pass it to see what's in it. And so they didn't read it. And according to their admittance, they said they didn't read the 2,700 pages. But I read it, and because I was in touch with Liberty Council, and we were warning people before it was ever passed to oppose it, strongly oppose it. And I wrote to every congressman saying that it was included death panels. And, oh, God, I got hung up on being interviewed about Obamacare, and a big host hung up on me when I said there were death panels. And rationing and denying health care is death panels. And so it had mandated abortion, mandated taxpayer-funded abortions. It had mandated taxpayer vaccinations. It had microchips. It had supporting the Muslims that were pre-planned, which is a foreign invasion of fake refugees, which is a fraud on Americans. And so anyway, I said that it was like having an imaginary gun to everybody's head and saying, pay up for a consumer product you may or may not want and may or may not need, and or else you're going to be punished. And people are being punished with the Cadillac fine right now and non-affordable health care. And people are dying, and people are chronically ill, believe it or not. And people are being fined excessively. And so when I look at all that, this fraud on the American people and the lies, it was built on a pack of lies, which makes us a nation of liars, apparently. So I've been asking this question since 2009. How in the world can the Supreme Court and the Congress and the President of the United States, former President of the United States, rubber stamp approved laws that have never been read and enforce them?
Well, because we let them.
Oh.
We don't demand. We don't say, okay, call a halt to that. Go back and start at square one. Read it. Hold the hearings that should have been held so that each of us have a chance to appear and testify on any of the provisions we want to testify on. One of the most amazing provisions in the law that I haven't read the law specifically, but from what information I've gained about it, was the provision that if the insurance companies were to lose money as a result of the change in the law, we, the taxpayers, were to reimburse them for the losses. That is totally preposterous. I mean, so you pass a law and tell us we must buy a particular insurance policy, taking away from us the right to individuality, and then you say if it's going to cost the insurance industry anything, we, the taxpayers, will reimburse them so that they don't have any losses.
Right,
why that wasn't questioned.
And also, did you know that they get a kickback? They get $12,000 each for their premium health care so they can have their own doctors. And the American people weren't aware of that either. I just happened to know somebody that worked for a congressman and just let me know about that. And, so I looked it up and everything on the link she told me. Sure enough, they get $12,000 kickback each for their health care and for, I guess, rubber stamping Obamacare approved, so Obama could have his legacy, his signature, laws as his legacy. And this is so insane. I mean, I can't believe, I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone, to tell you the truth. I feel like we went to a different dimension and we're looking down on this planet here and it's gone insane.
Well, it's present-day society. You know, they're too busy taking their selfies, including Mr. Obama, of course, is that famous photograph of him when he's with all the leaders of the world. He's more interested in how he smiles on a selfie than he is in whether or not he's solving any of the problems of the world. And again, it comes back to us. I mean, that's what I say in my book was, how did this happen to us? Well, it happened to us because we weren't paying attention. And then when suddenly we started paying attention, you know, what's the famous phrase you've heard everybody say? Well, I'm not going to make a difference. Well, mm-hmm. Of course you're not as one person. But if people get together, I mean, one of the things I've done in connection with the book, excuse me, by the way, is on Facebook I've formed what I call the Supreme Court Tyranny Group that you can go to on Facebook. And I'm putting things on there like, is the Supreme Court opinion the law of the land? And then I wait for a while to see how many people will respond to it. And then I say, no, it's not. And here's the provision that says it's not. I said, what's the most important of the Bill of Rights? Which amendment do you think is the most important? And, of course, everybody comes up with the Second Amendment. And I said, no, it isn't. It's the Fifth Amendment, because it eliminated the Star Chamber. Now, do you know what the Star Chamber was?
Well, no, we only have a couple of minutes here, so I would like to know.
Well, in English history, it was where they took people into a chamber, and they called it that because there were stars on the ceiling. They put you under oath, and they made you tell who else belonged to the church that you belonged to, because it was against the law at that time to belong to any church except the Church of England. So then when you lied about it, they could prosecute you for perjury. Well, that's the reason the Fifth Amendment came about, that you can take the Fifth and not testify to convict yourself when you're under oath. Well, with only a few minutes left, maybe what I should do is tell you that people can get the book by going to the website criticalbookspublications.com or supremecourttyranny.com, or also on Amazon Books, and of course it's available as a Kindle also. And it's called The Tyrannical Rule of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I hope people will read it, and I hope they'll email me and they'll argue with me, and, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing if we want to keep this republic, not a democracy, if we want to keep this republic going.
Well, what do you think about President Trump before we go? Do you think he is trying to restore the rule of law, and because he has so many enemies within and without attacking him? I mean, he took on a mess, and now he's being attacked from every which direction. It's awful.
Well, I think President Trump is really interesting because he came into government not knowing about government. He thinks he can run the country as a CEO, and he doesn't understand that under our form of republic, he has to have the cooperation of the Congress. And I think the problem is there are too many Republicans who are upset that an outsider was elected because we, the people, decided we wanted a change. We didn't want an insider again. And so they're just thwarting him at every turn. And at some point, they're going to have to understand, if we get up off the couches, that we're going to remove them so that we'll have a Congress that will cooperate with the things that we think should happen in the government. We want to be able to run it again.
Thank you so much. I mean, I just thoroughly... You just intrigued me with so much information about our U.S. Supreme Court and our Constitution. We'll have to do it again, and I definitely am going to the Supreme Court Tyranny Group on Facebook. I want everybody to go there and sign up, and I want you to look up his book, The Tyrannical Rule of the U.S. Supreme Court, and check it out on Amazon.com, and is it criticalbookpublishing.com?
Critical Books Publications, all one word, .com.
Thank you so much, Don, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'll try. Good to talk to you.
You too. Bye-bye. And bye-bye. Don Brockett has left the building, and we got to keep fighting back, friends. We have to stand up, speak up, speak out, get off the couch, and do something, because united, we can make a difference. Divided, we are falling apart. And we need to help President Trump restore the Constitution, which I believe is his ultimate goal, sovereignty and restoring the Constitution and saving our country from tyranny. So on that note, we'll talk to you next Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com. God bless you. God bless America. God bless our military, law enforcement, firefighters who are out there fighting those horrific wildfires. God bless them. God bless their families and all the victims of all of these disasters, these natural disasters that have come against America and the Virgin Islands, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, Cuba, anyone who's suffering in and around the world. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.